One of the things that we also wanted to do today as we're acknowledging and celebrating all of these incredible women in our lives is also kind of remind ourselves what season we are in. And I don't know if you know this, but it has actually been 5 weeks since we celebrated Easter. And if you're like me, then on the one hand, Easter feels like it was just yesterday with all of that excitement and energy. And if you're like me, on the other hand, you're thinking, gosh, what happened to all that excitement and energy? I am going through the day-to-day motions in life, and I've just kind of gotten back to the drudgery of the daily things. And I just want you to hear this morning that that is okay. Wherever you find yourself, God has a message for us today. But I do want to remind us that we are in an Easter season. We are in a season of celebration. And the scripture this morning, I think, is going to really help kind of anchor us back into those things that are important to us, spending time with God, spending time with one another. And so what's going on in the scripture, I kind of want to, you know, share a little bit with you before I read it. It's actually the night before Jesus goes to the cross, and the disciples have come together with Jesus, and they're sharing a last meal together. And I would encourage you, if you get the chance, to maybe read in and around the scripture, John 14, because it's just such a relatable scene, I think. They're gathered around a dinner table, something that we do all the time, and the disciples are confused and asking questions, and Jesus is just giving them these beautiful words of reassurance as he knows that they're about to encounter some really difficult time in their lives together. So I'm going to read these this morning. It's a little bit cumbersome the way the language falls, so I'll just invite you to listen along and hear these words from Christ. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. And if that were not so, would I have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. And Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way? And Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And if you really know me, you will know my Father as well. So from now on, you do know him and have seen him. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. So do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, you know, when I told my mom that I was preaching from this particular scripture passage this morning, she reminded me that it was actually my grandma's favorite passage of scripture. And then she proceeded to recite the entire thing from memory, which, you know, she was raised Baptist, and that's very, you know, they're good about memorizing scripture. And I was shocked and blown away that she could say that word for word. But she also said that it wasn't just in her church that she heard it. It was from her own mother. Grandma used to say that scripture probably once a day. And I asked my mom, I said, you know, okay, well, I do remember that that was her favorite. You know, what was it about it, you know, that was her favorite? And on the one hand, we said, oh, it's all of that comfort and that hope, that peace I leave with you that Jesus talks about. It's so encouraging. But then we also kind of get this, you know, mom gets this sparkle in her eye and she starts grinning and she says, you know, the King James Version doesn't say that God's house has many rooms. It says that there are many mansions. And I think that grandma really was looking forward to having a mansion when she got to heaven. and it cracked me up because grandma lived in like the most simple house and in the most simplistic way possible. But, you know, hopefully on this day, you'll be sharing and thinking about some of those good memories too. For me, just spending those few moments with my mom really got me thinking about my grandma and all of the connections that she has to this beautiful passage of scripture. I got to thinking about what an amazing woman of faith she was, what a kind and generous soul she was. And I was thinking that, you know, just like God's house has many rooms and has a place for everybody, So too did my grandma somehow create out of this very tiny and simple home a love and a grace that were just big enough for every single person she met. And all of this for my grandma was naturally centered around her dining room table. It was a table where you always found her sitting whenever you came to visit with her. It was a table that was really messy, and it was old, and it was cracked, and it was perfect. It was a table where you were fed. And whether you were physically hungry or you came there hungry for something else, you always left that table with more than you had when you sat down. And I just wonder if those disciples nearly 2,000 years ago came to a similar table as well. Like I said, in those chapters kind of surrounding this passage, we learn that the disciples are just experiencing a lot of confusion, and we can understand why. I think Jesus was probably a hard person to keep up with. You know, they're trying to understand everything that he's teaching them. They're trying to understand all of the miracles that he's doing and performing. And I love this scene because they just ask him so many questions at the dinner table. They were so hungry for understanding and for reassurance. Well, you know, as we come into God's house this day, we're continuing on this journey of Easter and celebrating this resurrection, and we're coming here and trying to honor all of the emotions that come with celebrating women who have been mothers to us. And I wonder, too, if we might also be hungry. I wonder if we might also be looking for a table like the ones the disciples shared, like the one that my grandma had, all messy and noisy and peaceful and life-giving all at once. And whether we realize it or not, I think the whole world is looking for a table like that. The whole world is hungry for a love like that. And what I hope and pray that you will hear and just know in your bones today is that God's great, great love for you is so very present. It is so very available. And God, I really think, wants nothing more than for you to show up at God's table, maybe to sit down and talk for a little while, and then go out and bring all of that love and grace that you are hungry for and share it with all of God's children. So we're going to think about that today, that showing up. You know, the fact that you came this morning lets me know that you did come here for something. Hopefully you came today with some expectation, but maybe you came out of an obligation. It's Mother's Day and all. Maybe you came out of a love of God. Maybe you were hungry for a hopeful word. But whatever your reason, friends, you showed up today. And the scripture we just read reminds us that that is a critical part of being people of resurrection. It's showing up to God's table. Now, if you're a literalist and you're thinking to yourself, I see no table, what table? What is she talking about? Well, I am kind of using a metaphor here, but what I mean is that if you don't already have a place or a group of people who will love you into the wonderful person that God has called you to be, then I am saying that it's time, friend. It's time to find a table. And it's time to find a group of people like that. I'm one who was blessed enough to grow up in a family filled with people like that. And my grandma's table is the place where we all showed up. And she taught every single child, every single grandchild and great-grandchild to sing Jesus Loves Me. And I'd be willing to bet that she taught our friends when we brought them too, and it would not shock me if she's, you know, taught the TV repairman when he came in. You know, it was important. If you showed up to her table, then you were going to hear how much God loves you, and she was going to show you what that love looked like. Mom always says that when you walked in, she asked you two questions. Are you hungry? And how are you? And it was those two questions. How are you and are you hungry? She always had something to eat and she always had love to give. And one way or another, she was going to feed you. But you know, we all need time and space like that, don't we? We need those moments. And I'm telling you, it really doesn't matter what gets you there. I just think it's important to show up and be present to God and the community of faith. Lord knows there were many days when my mom would tell us we were going to grandma's house and I would drag my feet and, you know, all of a sudden I'm visiting out of an obligation. But no matter what state I was in when I got there, I always left feeling lighter and more loved and more hopeful and more full and just more me whenever I spent time at grandma's table. Now, I'm sure this never happens to any of you, but it is possible that sometimes people show up to church because they feel obligated or because their spouse or their parent or their inner voice of guilt is compelling them to go. And remember, I'm talking about other people, not anyone in this room. But that's how big God's love is, you guys. When you show up, God is always there to greet you. How are you, my child? Are you hungry? I am here. Let me feed you. Let me remind you of the precious child I have created you to be. Even in those scriptures, as we see that the disciples were experiencing so much confusion at what Jesus was saying, they did show up. It might have been tempting to be like, we've got to have dinner with that Jesus guy again, and he's always talking, and I don't ever understand what he's saying. But they showed up, and they were together, and thank goodness they came that night, because that was the night that Jesus washed their feet. And that was the night that Jesus told them to love other people the way that he loved them. And that was the night that he promised them a hope and a future and a peace and a love that they never could have imagined on their own. Oh my goodness, how much they would have regretted it if they had not shown up that night. I think about how much they must have been clinging to his words and his actions in those days between the crucifixion and the resurrection. Even when they did not understand, they still showed up, and they were grateful recipients of God's love. Well, once they, you know, showed up to the table, thankfully they sat down, and I'm using some metaphors again because I think it's remarkable that even with all of that confusion and all of those vulnerable questions, they still came to the table. They sat down, and it's important that as disciples, we allow ourselves to sit down at the table. We bring all of ourselves, all of our confusion, all of our fears and anxieties, all of the things that we don't understand, and we sit down and we trust that God has a transformative love for us. Those disciples did not hesitate to bring Jesus their deepest fears and anxiety and questions. And I think that we would do well to take note of such an openness and such an authenticity. Now, to be fair, it's very scary to be honest and vulnerable with God, but also with one another, isn't it? I mean, what if I ask you to think for just a moment about your deepest fear or anxiety? Maybe you're carrying a memory or an experience in which you were hurt by someone, or maybe you hurt someone in the past. Maybe you're carrying some kind of anger or pain or sadness. We might feel broken. And please hear me, because while I am not saying that God has caused that brokenness, friend, I am saying that God can take that brokenness, and that when you bring your truest, most authentic self to God, then God's love can transform and mend anything, whatever is broken. God has work to do in every single one of us, but that work cannot be done if we are not honest and open and vulnerable with God. And though it may be even harder to think about going that one step further, we really should be working together as a community of faith to build a space where trust and hope and healing are like the hallmarks of who we are as a people. I mean, we do this life together, right? So what if when people drive by our church, they say, "That's Cokesbury. That's the place to be when you are going through the hard things in life. That's the place to go where you can be honest and authentic. They are not afraid to talk about hard things, to be with you in difficult circumstances, and to love you and walk with you no matter what you are facing. Friends, what if we could just bring all of that messiness and brokenness that we carry to the table, trusting that God will remember and remembering how to trust one another, knowing that at the end of the day, God's love is big enough to redeem even the most broken among us. Again, I think about those disciples and how they were just prior to the cross and to Easter, and they're filled with this uncertainty and anxiety. Yes, they needed to be with Jesus, but they needed to be together too. And we need that. We need that place where we can bring our questions and uncertainty. We need that safe space that comforts us and reminds us of God's love. Mother Teresa says it this way: if we have no peace, it is because we have forgotten that we belong to one another. Do you feel that, that belonging to one another? What would it look like to show up to God's table, all expectant and hopeful for this great love that God has to share, and then to sit down all honest and open to the possibilities that come with a life transformed by God's love, a love that can transform us daily, maybe even in each moment, if we would just allow that love to be in us, that love that will never leave us or forsake us, but will heal us and will help us to be the beautiful people God is calling us to be. Oh, how this world, how we are hungry for a love like that. I pray so much that this day, that God's dream for this world is what that we would be kind and gracious and patient and careful with one another, that we would indeed create this safe space for people to show up to God's table and sit down with one another, but also remembering that we serve a God who is very active, that we might create some brave space for people as well, so that we can be empowered to go out into this world that God loves, so that we can share this love that has affected us so. Because as much as I loved sitting at my grandma's table and all my messed up brokenness, and much as I know she loved having me there, she never would have wanted me to stay there forever. Like God's love, she had a love that was too big even for her dining room table, and she really wanted other people to know that love too. So now I realize that nothing would make her happier than to know that she has all of these children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren that are trying to take all of that love and grace and goodness, all of that stability and confidence and hope that she offered us, and share it with God's world. Friends, no matter what struggles we face, no matter the pain we carry, we are still Easter people. And challenging as it may be, we are called to share with the world the love that God has given us. So don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying that you have to be falsely happy and in a fake good mood all of the time. It's much deeper than that. Life is challenging, and we're all going to face painful experiences, but that's why it's so important that we face them together. So before we move to a special time this morning of prayer, a time of reflection music, I want to share with you the story of Mother's Day. It's a beautiful reminder that, as Mother Teresa has indicated, we do belong to one another, and that in belonging to one another, that is where we find our true peace. So I don't know if you know this story and how we kind of got to the place where we do flowers and hats and cards, but many, many years ago, Ann Reeves Jarvis, who was actually a United Methodist woman who lived in the 1860s, she used to organize women's clubs to serve suffering mothers and children in West Virginia. She taught to them about hydration for fevered babies, and she taught them about sanitation and nutrition. And even just as I read those words for the first time, I was so grateful to be living in the time that we do. Sometimes the internet is not your best friend, but other times it is, and it can help you when you have these tiny little babies. But back then, they didn't have anything like that, and she saw this need, and she filled it. And then she didn't stop there. When the Civil War came along and there was this field hospital that was placed in the center of town, remember, West Virginia, Anne recruited nurses to serve. And then after the war, she heard another calling on her heart. She formed friendship clubs to promote reconciliation. And according to historians, Anne Jarvis was convinced that mothers, women in general, but mothers in particular, had to work for peace because they were the ones who could see the ravages of war in their husbands and in their sons in a way that was so focused and so clear that together their voices could be so very powerful. And that's how Mother's Day got started. Anne and her daughter Anna petitioned the government, and it took a few years, but eventually it happened. So I think we need to think about this day. As we're honoring all these incredible women, we need to remember that the roots of this holiday are really Easter roots. I mean, this is what it means to live as an Easter people. It's to say to the world that indeed life is fragile and broken and hard. My goodness, these women walked through the Civil War. But they said, God is here. We are here. And this love that we share is so powerful that it can heal and transform and redeem and bring peace. And this love can even conquer death. Don't you want to be part of a story like that? Don't you want to share that story with other people by living your life in a way that shows this gratitude to God and shares this love that God has for us? Well, there were so many things that I wanted to kind of pack into this bulletin and this sermon today, but you'll see in your bulletin a quote from a good friend of mine. He's a Methodist pastor over in Marianna, and he recently told me that he is convinced that every problem between people comes from the fundamental problem that we don't truly, truly believe that God loves us. We don't understand that love. We say we believe that we say we do, but we don't believe enough to live its consequences. So I want to challenge you and encourage you this day, friends. What if you did believe that enough to live its consequences? What if we were brave enough to truly believe that God loves us that much? Just like my grandma, can you think of someone in your life that has loved you so much that you thought anything was possible, that you felt like you could just go out there and be grace and love in this world? I hope and pray you know that. And if you haven't, we're going to give you a chance because God is inviting you, come to this table and sit down. God is saying, how are you, my child? Are you hungry? Come and sit and be filled and then go out. God wants this for us and God wants this for his world. So we're going to take just a few moments and share this beautiful song with you. There's a beautiful image of a mother, you know, just covering her child. And this is the way that God wants to love you. So take some time and come and pray at this altar and be filled.
Oh, gently lay your head upon my chest, and I will comfort you like a mother while you rest. The tide can change so fast, but I will stay the same through the past, same through the future, same today. I am constant, I am here. I am the one who shatters all your secret fear. I am holy, I am wise. I'm the only one who knows your heart's desire, your heart's desire. Oh, weary, tired, and worn, let out your sighs. and drop that heavy load you pull, 'cause mine is light. And I know you through and through, no place to hide. I wanna show you love that is deep and high and wide. I am constant, I am near, I am the peace that shatters all your secret fear. I am holy, I am wise, I'm the only one who knows your heart's desire, your heart's desire. I am holy, I am wise, I'm the only one who knows your heart's desire, your heart's desire. Oh, gently lay your head upon my chest, and I will comfort you like a mother while you rest.
I do just hope and pray that whether or not you've had a mother to comfort you and to pour love into you, that you know that God wants to pour love into you and to comfort you and to be all that God can be in your lives. So we celebrate that this day, and we're going to give you one more chance to sort of worship, because this is a day to thank God for all of this amazing love that God has for us. So I'm going to invite you to stand and sing one of my favorite songs, How Great is the Love.